stand and turn to page 120. Get ready to worship and praise the Lord. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory.
Amen.
Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about His healing, of His cleansing fire revealing, how He made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, "Dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit." And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory.
Yes,
of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior. Me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save.
Praise God, praise God. While you're standing, does anyone on my right side have a spoken prayer request tonight? Yes, ma'am. Okay, absolutely. We should most definitely will. Anyone else on my right side with a spoken prayer? Yes, Sister Brenda. Absolutely, we most definitely will. Anyone on my left side with a spoken prayer request tonight? Yes, ma'am. Absolutely, most definitely will. Anyone else with a spoken prayer request? The congregation don't want to miss anyone. All righty. Anyone up on the roster? Amen. Amen. As we get ready to go to the Lord in prayer, I'm going to ask Miss Elaine, too, after we get through praying, if she'll give us a little quick update on that testimony she gave as we was coming over to church tonight about the 12 steps. Just, our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise you. Lord, we thank you for your many blessings. Lord, we thank you for your mercy and grace, dear Lord, for your love that you've shown each and given to each and every one of us, dear Lord. Lord, we're nothing without you, but we just want to lift you up and honor you. Lord, thank you for giving us victory in your name. Jesus, we just love and praise you. Dear Lord, you've heard the spoken prayer request. Dear Lord, you know the unspoken. And Lord, we're placing each and every one in your hand. Dear Lord, asking you to be with those that have lost their loved ones. Dear Lord, that are going through these hard times. Dear Lord, these that are struggling and sick right now, sick and shut in, not able to be with us tonight, dear Lord. And we ask that you'll just touch each and every one. Lord, for anyone watching on the live feed, dear Lord, their prayer requests that they're writing in the comments and just the desire they have just to lift up their situation to you. And, dear Lord, with faith, we're giving it to you. Lord, we give you all the honor and glory. We ask you to be with our pastor and his family. Strengthen them, guide them. And, dear Lord, each and every ministry that goes forth from this congregation, Lord, may it be to honor you and you alone. Lord, again, we just give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everyone says,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to take up the offering in just a second here. Miss Elaine, y'all go ahead and sit down. Miss Elaine gave me a little testimony tonight. It just touched my heart. I was looking at her tonight. It's neat.
Anyway, the guy that works in our warehouse, Doug, he got moved to rehab, and he called today, and he was wanting to see if I could help him get his tag for his car, and I was telling him all he needed. But anyway, I said, well, how are you doing? He said, I actually walked 12 steps today. He says, on Friday, I couldn't even do 4. And he says, and one of the nurses, he says, I asked one of the nurses, and she brought me a Bible. And he says, I don't read very well, and some of them words, I just don't know. But he says, I'm trying. And I told him, I said, just ask the Lord to guide you and open your mind, and he'll help you understand it. So I just wanted to say, I'm just praising the Lord for that miracle, because he's a miracle. I mean, they didn't give him hours to live. And now he's up walking.
Thank you. Amen.
That's how God works. Just a few steps at a time. Just from all this stuff going around, and I know there's other suffering with it, and I know there's so many other stories, but to have someone to actually say, and then recognizing that it was God that did the healing and that it wasn't anything that man did. It's strictly the Lord. So we're going to go ahead and take up the evening offering. Love each and every one of you. We're going to go ahead and get ready. And thank you, Brother Jim. Praise the Lord. Praise God. And then we'll call on a few special singers. If Miss Susan, if you get one together for us, Miss Nikki, and then Miss Tabitha, if you have one for us, please. Brother Jim, if you'd ask the Lord just to bless our offering. Yes, Lord. Amen. Thank you.
And if the other two ladies like to head this way, we'll go ahead and get started. I didn't ask y'all in advance.
Caught me off guard. I didn't know which one of the three I sang I was going to pick. I thank the Lord for His blessings and His healing power and everything He does for us every day. Dear Lord, I'll be a witness if You will help my weakness. I know that I'm not worthy, Lord, of Thee. The cross of Calvary, dear Lord, I cry, let me Thy servant be. Jesus, use me, and oh Lord, don't refuse me, for surely there's a work that I can do. My will to crumble, though the cross be great, I'll work for You. I'll stand for Thee, dear Jesus, though death may come my way. I'll spread the gospel to the fallen here. Lord, help me to be willing to say yes. Jesus, use me, and oh Lord, don't refuse me, for surely there's a work that I can do. My will to crumble, though the cost be great, I'll work for You. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Sharon, He's all the world to me, but most of all He is my coming King. Jesus, use me, and oh Lord, don't refuse me, for surely there's a work that I can do. My will to crumble, though the cost be great, I'll work for You.
Upon me as I struggle along. They say I have nothing, but they are so wrong. In my heart I'm rejoicing, oh how I wish they could see. Thank You, Lord, for Your blessings on me. above me, I've got a good place to sleep. Food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Well, I know I'm not wealthy, and these clothes, they're not new. I don't have much money, but Lord, I have you. And to me, that's all that matters, though the world may not see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me, I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Well, I know I'm not wealthy, and these clothes are not new. I don't have much money, but Lord, I have you. And to me, that's all that matters, though the world may not see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me, I've a good place to sleep. Food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me.
I just want to say that I thank the Lord for touching my body, my foot. Like Brother Eddie said the night that he took me by the hand and said, one step at a time. Well, it's been one step at a time. But I've noticed I've been able, when I get up in the mornings, to actually put my foot flat on the floor. Amen. Where before, I couldn't do it. And I noticed the swelling's going down a lot, so I told Brother Thomas when I came up, I said, I'm going to run before long. I'm going to ride my bicycle. I'm ready.
Thank you, Lord.
Y'all worship with me tonight.
Maybe. Yeah. Living below in this so simple world, hardly a comfort can afford. Striving alone to face temptation sore, where could I go but to the Lord?
Praise the Lord. You got it. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Yes. Where could I go? There's nowhere I'd rather go than to the Lord. Amen. Why not go to the main source first? Amen. So many times we try everything else, then we go to the Lord last, only to know that if we carry our burdens to Him, how many knows that God is a deliverer? Amen. Good to see you here on Wednesday night. Appreciate each and every one of you coming tonight. Appreciate those of you who are tuning in on the live stream tonight. We pray a blessing upon you too. Hope you're all doing well. Amen. Taking care of one another, staying in the Word of God, and staying truthful to the Lord and faithful. Amen. If there ever was a time to live faithfully, it's now in the day and hour that we're living in. Doesn't take a whole lot of faith when everything's going really good. Amen. We're doing a lot of praise and worship during those times, but when things seemingly are falling apart around you, that's when we learn to walk by faith. There's an old song that we used to sing when I was growing up. It says, living by faith, day by day, step by step, one step at a time. We just trust in the Lord. If you have your Bibles tonight for just a little while, let's go to the book of Psalms. In the 30th Psalm, the writing and the song of David, this was during the dedication of the house, or the dedication of the temple, or before the temple, in anticipation of his son Solomon building the temple, is where we are in this particular time frame. Thank you for standing tonight. In the 30th Psalm, verses 1 through 5 tonight, if you want to follow along with us, again, Psalms 30, verses 1 through 5. David writes, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up, and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but for a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Can we pray? Dear gracious Heavenly Father, how thankful we are, God, for another day and another opportunity to meet together in the house to worship you and lift you up tonight. Father, we're thankful for your many blessings. We're thankful for your safekeeping. Praying, God, that you would reach out to those who are in need tonight. Many are sick. Many are afflicted, Father. Many are just down and distraught. And I pray, God, that you would lift them up, touch and anoint their bodies. Bless those, Lord, who are out in this world. Pray, God, that you would prick their heart, bring them to an altar of repentance. Asking you, Lord, just to put your blessing upon this service tonight. God, in every way, let us lift you up through song, through praise, through the word tonight. Father, I ask you to anoint these lips of clay tonight, God, that just a vessel that you may speak to our hearts. Help us to be submissive, obedient to your will and to your word. And we'll give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. For we ask it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the house of the Lord tonight. David's writing here is very simplistic, but yet it is very profound as well. If I had a thought tonight, it would be basically joy cometh in the morning. How many is ready for some joy? Amen. You know, we sing about the joy, and it is a joy to live and serve the Lord. But we all know, and even God knows, that there are times when things are in the life that are not so joyous, but we must endure those things. And upon first reading this, we find that David basically comes to a realization. I don't know if you've ever been to a situation or through a situation, whether it be a trial, whether it be an affliction or a sickness, or maybe it's just one of those times when nothing seems to fall into place. It seems like everything is going wrong. You begin to question your life. You begin to question your recent experiences to find out how you got to this point. What has happened? Is it something you have done? Or is it the vengeance of God or the anger of God that maybe on our part that we have failed him in some way or that we have angered him in some way and now he's taking that out upon us through these manifold problems and situations and obstacles that we face? How many knows and realizes that God is not that type of God? Amen. He's a loving God. But so many times, as David did, I think we mistake discipline for anger. Or we misplace anger for discipline. When in fact, God is not angry at us, He's disciplining us. He's correcting us. He's straightening us out. My daddy used to use that term, boy, I'm going to straighten you out. I knew that meant discipline. Now, some manner or some way, whether it be a spanking or whether it be grounding or whatever it was, I knew discipline was going to follow Dad's words when he said, son, I'm going to straighten you out. Because some way I had got crooked. Some way I needed straightening out. And God is a loving God. He's a wonderful God, and He cares for us, and He wants us to have a joyous life. But He also knows that we have a free will, and we're sensitive to things around us. And sometimes we, whether we want to confess it or not, we make bad decisions. We take the wrong turn, and then we wonder why everything's falling down around us. And we say, God, well, what is the matter? Are you angry at me? Are you mad at me? Why is all of this falling upon me when basically it may just be to straighten us out? So David begins to reminisce, and he begins to think, you know what? God's not a really bad God after all. How many has ever realized that? He's not one that's waiting on you to mess up so He can pound you on the head or strike you down in vengeance. He's trying to lift you up, trying to help you, and trying to encourage you. But through that love and through that grace and through that mercy also comes discipline. And thank God for His disciplinary actions, because that means He loves us enough to care how we conduct our life, how we walk in this life, and how we treat others and how we handle situations that arise. So David begins to think, and he goes back and he begins to list these things. And first of all, he says, I will extol thee, meaning greatly praise thee. You know, the Bible says that God is great and greatly to be praised. And I often say that, you know, we know that first part. How many knows and agrees with me that God is great? But how many would question ourselves sometimes, do we greatly praise Him? I fail to realize sometimes that, you know, Lord, I need to praise You in all things. Not just the good things, or not what I accept or realize or think is the good things, but in everything, I need to give Him honor and praise. For God is the author of all things, amen? And I believe that God's will for us is to live a holy and righteous life before Him. And in order to do that, it's going to take some discipline. So David says, I will greatly praise Thee, O Lord, but now remember that You have lifted me up. Oh, can I get a witness tonight? Do you remember the times that the Lord has lifted you up? First of all, I think about salvation. When the Lord lifted me up, David penned the words, He brought me up out of a horrible pit. Amen. He established, or He placed me on a rock and established my goings. David began to reminisce, and he began to think, Lord, you know what? You're really not a vengeful God. You're really not an angry God. You're a God of compassion. You're a God of mercy, and You're a God that lifted me up when I needed lifting up, when I was lost within myself, and I didn't have the guidance or direction, and Lord, I needed You, and You were there for me. Amen. Can you remember the times that God has been there for you? Maybe when nobody else could step in, or nobody else could step up, or give you that kind word, or that word of encouragement, or even direction, or even discipline, and there was God who lifted us up. Whether it be a spiritual lifting, whether it be a financial lifting, whether it be just a great emotional living or uplifting. Sometimes we just kind of realize how great God is, and we wonderfully praise and adore Him. I think about discipline, and I think about how that we accept discipline sometimes. And I was reminded as I was reading this particular psalm, something that Karen said when she was a little girl. She was just a tiny little thing, and she spent a lot of time at Mother's house, which she called Maw-Maw, still calls Maw-Maw to this particular day. And Karen, when she would need scolding or when she would need correcting, and Mother would get on to her in a way, and you know how grandparents are, they don't get on to kids near as drastically as parents do. It's forceful, but it's loving. Amen. You know, can I get an amen, you grandparents? And but when Mother would have to correct her, Karen would crawl up in her lap and she said, Mama, are you mean to me or sweet to me? And this would go, and we get tickled to that. And she'd say that because she knew that most of the time Momo was real sweet to her. So she wanted to get things straight. Are you the mean Momo or are you the sweet Momo? And whatever I got to do to get that sweet Momo back, that's what I'm willing to do. And, you know, sometimes we're that way with God. God, are you mad at me? Why is all of this happening? First of all, we're not even supposed to question God. Oh me, forgive me, Lord, for the many times I have questioned you. I cannot stand here today and rightfully tell you I've never questioned God. But I can tell you I've never been proud of it. Amen. I confess it, but many, many times I'm questioning God about what is going on. Why is this happening? Why? Have I missed it? Have I missed you? Have I disobeyed you, God? Have I done something that caused you to be displeased with me when all I really need is something in my life to be straightened out by the disciplinary hand of God, which above all is a merciful and loving God? Man, much rather be disciplined by someone who loves me than disciplined by someone who despises me. I don't know. Did you ever have teachers that seemed to just take joy in paddling you? It just made their day. We had a coach like that. And it just tickled him to get his paddle out. And you know, that thing hurt. Not only did it hurt physically, but it hurt your ego. Because you could see the joy that he was getting out of it. But then I remember Mother disciplined me. And she would always say the same thing. This is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. And I didn't realize it at the time, but growing up, then you realize they don't take joy in disciplining you. They don't take joy in scolding you or spanking you or sitting you in the corner. Or God forbid, I wish we'd have had time out when I was growing up. I could have used that instead of so many stripes. But now it's time out. But that's not because they hate you. That's not because they love to scold you. It's because they love you so much, they want to direct you and disciplinary you and cause you to be straightened out. God, we need straightening out. Lord, we need that strong hand, but also that loving hand. And how many knows God can be both? Both loving and strong. And David realized that many, many times, Lord, you've lifted me up. You've lifted me up in battle. You've lifted me up in my conscience. You've lifted me up in my spirit time and time again. Please forgive me, Lord, for thinking that you were angry or vengeful against me. And then he goes on to say, you gave me victory over my foes. Can I just offer a suggestion to us tonight? It seems to work for me at times, and I'll pass it on. Whenever we're feeling like that God is extremely disciplinary in our action, and he's really putting the strong hand on us to cause us to turn from our ways and be more susceptible to his ways, and we think that God is really picking on us, or maybe he's spending too much time correcting us, can we think about the many testimonies that he has brought us through and the many victories he's caused us to be able to appreciate in our life? And I will assure you, the victories far outweigh the times that he has had to correct us. So David begins to reminisce and he says, you know what? You've made me victorious over my foes. You have not allowed them to rejoice over me because you are a loving God. You are a precious God. And when I need correcting, Lord, I'm thankful that you love me enough to correct me. A child that is never corrected will be a child that expects it's going to get its way for the rest of its life. And we're nothing but big children sometimes. Especially with God, because we're so used to his blessings. We're so used to him being right there for us, for him lifting us up, for him making us victorious over our foes or over our battles and making a way out of no way. And then when he wants to get stern with us or direct us or give us discipline, are you mean to me or sweet to me, God? It's almost that type of attitude. But Lord, I want you to correct me, even though it may not go well, may not set well with my flesh. But I'd much rather you correct me than allow me, amen, to go off on my own or do something that is displeasing unto you. And he also says, thou hast healed me. Do you think a vengeful God, a hateful God, an anger God would not heal you? Amen. If he angered, he wouldn't heal you. He wouldn't want, he wouldn't care about how we are. But many, many times we have called on the healing virtue of God. And in the moment, he has touched us immediately many, many times and made a way for us, touched our children, healed our bodies, answered special requests for us. That's not a vengeful God. That's not a hateful God. That's a loving, gracious, merciful God, who happens to love us enough to correct us when we err. Amen? It's not pleasant. Correction never was pleasant. Amen? But it's beneficial. Thou hast healed me. And then he says, brought my soul up from the grave. Not physically, but spiritually. This reminds me that David probably in his time had been so low that he felt almost like his spirit was dead. And you know, I've heard in my ministry, I've heard people say, you know what, I just feel like my prayers are not even getting through the ceiling. I just feel like God's not hearing me, or God's not concerned about me. And that is not the case. And I think even when we say that, we know better. We know better. We know God is a loving God and a caring God. But we found ourselves so perplexed, so caught up in whatever it is that's bothering us, whether it be the heaviest of burdens, whether it be the sickness or affliction that we have to try, have to have in life, and whatever it is we're trying to get over, and we just feel like that somehow our spirit is so weak, our spirit is almost dead, and then God reaches down that precious loving hand and picks us up and carries us through those times. Man, until we're strengthened and nourished again through His Spirit and through His anointing. And then when God fills us again, amen, then we're ashamed that we ever doubted His ability to lift us up. So David said, thou hast lifted me up, or brought my soul up from the grave. And then he also says, thou hast kept me alive. Thank God that He has kept me alive. Amen. There's been many situations, probably each and every one of us could testify of a time when, if it wasn't for just a certain circumstance or a certain situation, we could have lost our life. Whether it be in a traffic accident, whether it be around the house, whether it be, you know, near fatal situations. But through the mercy of God, He spared our life. And if you're trying to remember those times, so many times we're not even aware of them, that God has kept us from danger. When you travel and there's an accident maybe right behind where you just went, or a situation where something has happened and you just was there a little while ago, and you think of, oh my goodness, how lucky I was. No, that's the mercy of God. That is His grace. That is that strong, caring, protective hand that leads us and guides us and directs us. And many, many times He just catches us like Daddy used to catch me and just grab me on the arm and pull me back. You know, maybe when I was headed in the wrong direction when I was little. But you know, when you're big, sometimes you can't take that physical hand and grab. But thank God He can. Amen. He can reach there and say, no, that's not where you need to go. That's not what you need to do. You don't need to be involved in that. Here, I'm going to pull you back away from that. Doesn't mean He hates you. Doesn't mean He's angry at you. It means He's disciplining you. And thank God for the love enough that God has to discipline us. He has kept me alive. Amen. And David realizes then. And then he says in verse 4, first of all, he says, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. In other words, if you're going through a terrible trial, if you're going through something that is a burden that you think God has forgotten you, begin to sing His praises. Begin to remember the many times He's touched you, the many times He's opened up a door for you, the many times He has reached down and protected and saved you, situation after situation after situation. And I will assure you, it won't take long till you'll get the joy in your heart and the joy in your life for praising God for protecting you all those many times. Too numerous for me to even count.
So many times we could just write a book of all the many times that God has stepped into our life and taken care of situations. And we thank Him for that. But so many times when things are not going our way, we say, Lord, where are you? Why is this happening? But David said, sing unto the Lord. And then in verse number 5, this is a often quoted scripture, at least ways the latter part of that. How many has ever heard of that? Joy, you know, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And basically, it is a symbolic gesture. Not really lying there crying all night, and then all of a sudden expecting everything to be better in the morning. That's not really, it was a metaphor, basically, of what he was talking about. Because weeping, sometimes, that basically is an outlet of our emotions. And when we weep and we pour it out to God, you've heard Brother Jim say many, many times, just leave it here. Pour it out. In other words, don't take any of that misery home with you. Don't take that burden home with you. Now is the time to get delivered. Now is the time to get rid of all of it. Pour it out unto God. Amen. And as you pour it out, He's pouring in His love. So David is saying here, you know, his anger is just for a moment, but his favor is life, or everlasting life, or everlasting joy. His love is forever. How many knows He doesn't snatch His grace away from us when we err? Amen. He sometimes straightens us out. He sometimes takes His strong hand and corrects us, but thank God for that. But that doesn't mean He's not still a God of grace and mercy. And even though He classified His anger, do it this way, His discipline lasts for just a moment, but His mercy and grace and love endures forever. God is not going to stop loving us just because we messed up. He's going to keep loving us, and He's going to correct us. Remember, Mama, are you mean to me or sweet to me? God, are you mean to me or sweet to me? He's sweet to us, sometimes in a strong way. But we learn from those times. So He says, for His anger endureth but for a moment, and His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. As I read that, I thought about now the children of God, even though we're blessed, even though that we're thankful for God's anointing and His blessing upon us, it seems to be, in a spiritual way, a time of weeping, a time of mourning, time of not understanding what is transpiring in the world, what's going on around us. But understand, David said weeping may endure for a night, meaning just a short time, but joy cometh in the morning. Let's use that as a type and shadow of our journey through life. Regardless of how many times that the Lord makes a way for us, we're still in a body of flesh. Flesh is going to be disappointed. Flesh is going to face trials. Flesh is going to face hardships at times. But we never face those alone. God is always there with us. But think about all of this as a weeping night. A night that is going to pass with an assurance that joy is coming in the morning. Now when I think of joy coming in the morning, I'm not necessarily thinking that I'm going to wake up in the morning and suddenly everything is going to be all right. But I do know this, that one of these days when I wake up in heaven, amen, everything is going to be all right. Weeping may last but just a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Wait till you see what the Lord has prepared for His saints, those that He has chastised, those that He has disciplined, those that He has corrected. And aren't we going to be glad when we get over there and say, thank you, Lord, for straightening me out. Thank you, Lord, for disciplining me. Thank you for the chastisement, because through that I've found an everlasting love. Man, and joy is going to come in the morning. Maybe not here, but over there. There'll be no sadness, no sorrow, no more pain, no more death. For the former things are passed away, and all things have become new. Amen. How many is excited about where we're going? Amen. How many is gloriously excited about the place where joy will never end? Amen. We go through joyous times down here. We love it. We thank God for that. But imagine a place where there's nothing but joy forever and ever. It's hard for these little minds to comprehend that, because we always have little setbacks and little hiccups and little things along the way. But when we get over there, amen, the joy will be everlasting. Can you say praise the Lord? Aren't you thankful for a God that loves us? Amen. Just wanted to leave that with you tonight and just remind us that maybe what you're going through is not the vengeful, angry God that sometimes we think He is, but it's the strong and mighty loving God that's just straightening you out just a little bit. So God loves us. Because He loves us, we must expect Him to correct us. May God bless you. If you love the Lord, give Him a hand clap of praise tonight. God bless you. I'm going to leave you with that tonight. If anyone needs prayer tonight, certainly we believe in prayer. We believe in praying for one another, as the Bible says, anointing with oil, praying the prayer of faith, believing that you will be delivered. Amen. So if you have a prayer need, if you want to bring it to the altar tonight, please do at this time, and we'll pray with you. If not, would you stand tonight? One moment. Sister Penny is coming. I think she wants Kevin prayed for. Maybe.
God, and I know in His way, He puts His faith in you.
Yes.
Praise God. Praise
yes.
God.
Hallelujah.